أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده الذي خسرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وعجزت عن نعته أوهام الواسفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته There is a short dua that we tend to recite while we enter the haram or holy places, or even it's recommended to be recited when you enter a city or your house as well. It begins by saying, Allahumma adkhilni mudkhila sidqin wa akhrijni mukhraja sidq wa ja'alni min ladunka sultanan nasira, in which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that make our entry of sin, and an exit of truthfulness, and sent us with a special convoy of help from you, from your side, as we are entering the 10 nights of Muharram. And usually the first night we tend to discuss or talk about the great sacrifice of Muslim ibn Aqil. And the first cousin of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Muslim ibn Aqil. And Hazrat Muslim, with his name itself, points out to that loyalty, that name which reflects who surrendered to the will of Mawla, to the will of his master, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And Muslim, which means really who does taslim, who really surrenders. So the month or the nights begin by discussing the sacrifice of Hazrat Muslim, which symbolizes, which tells us, which asks us that for us, in order to enter this journey, in order to be part of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, one have to be a true Muslim. One who truly surrenders to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in fact is the very will of the Imam, is the very will of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the case of Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil. Now, as we begin the month, as the hadith says that there's a special harara, there's a special sort of feeling, heat, in the hearts of mu'mineen towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And this is what and because of what we have gathered here tonight. Now, when we say Allahumma adkhilni mudkhila sidq, what is sidq? What is truthfulness? What does it really mean? Now see, everything is dukhul. Everything is dukhul. You enter. Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-khubur al-surur. That's what we ask for. We have been brought in this dunya. It's what? It's dukhul. You know, we have been brought here. Right? And we have been brought in that state of truthfulness and purity, which is that fitrat that we are born with. So now when we are entering a haram, when we are entering these 10 nights, we should ask for that sidq. That when we come here with truthfulness. And that truthfulness is what? That truthfulness is that who I am. A feeble, a weak, a limited being which cannot be compared to the dust of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. That's how I am. That truthful entry is needed. An entry without any sort of attachment to oneself. An entry that will take us to this journey of Tawheed. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam, in the message of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, was nothing but Tawheed. You know, it is Inna Lillah wa Inna Ilayhi Raja'un. That's what it is. And we don't know how this ruju of ours would be. So we have to make sure that we fully benefit from these 10 nights. That we ask for that great soul, bi ismi Muslim, for that great soul of Muslim ibn Akhil, that our journey of ruju to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be a truthful ruju. And we are fully aware of the present circumstances when we look around, the issues that are there, the different types of diseases that are there. We are very feeble and weak. Just little virus could damage the whole body of a person within seconds. Well, we might think that we are healthy, we just had our blood test done, and so on and so forth. But just a little thing, it just takes minutes to really completely destroy us from within. That physical state. But the reality is the hereafter, because it's Raja'un, it is that return of ours. That return of ours must be with that truthfulness. That return is really Khuruj. So if we enter with Sidq, that Sidq, that truthfulness without any limitation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the muttaqeen, the pious ones, are in a place where it is sidq, where it is truthfulness, near muqtadir, near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have that iqtidar. So they are in that place of truthfulness, which means that without any limitation. So when we come here to these 10 nights saying that we are limited, we are really nothing, that truthfulness that is. And when we leave, which is khuruj, when we give ourselves incomplete, because when that dukhul take place, one have to really give. One really have to do the surrender. One have to give the whole wujud. And one gives that whole wujud of one's, one becomes fana. One annihilates in the pleasure of Lord, in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Muslim did. That's what all the ashab of Imam Hussain alayhi salam did. It was nothing but the pleasure of Mawla, the pleasure of the master. The master becomes the leader. The master becomes the guide. So therefore, when one enters that dukhul, when that duhul takes place, one surrenders everything. One is more cautious of the master or the place that he has entered than himself. He has given everything. He gives his whole wujud. When he gives his whole wujud, then that khuruj is with truthfulness, because he has surrendered it and he leaves. And when he leaves this place, he comes out as a free person. He comes out with the wujud. He comes out with baqa. And if we notice in the stories or the personalities of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, we would find that. Like for example, tomorrow night, we talk about Hazrat Hur alayhi salam. He surrendered, he came. He gave everything he had. But when he leaves, he is baqi. He is there. So therefore, these 10 nights are very important, brothers and sisters. one really have to invoke the shuhada that they help us in refining ourselves, in really understanding the whole message of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which was nothing but understanding the deeper levels of Tawheed. Now, this Tawheed, their scholars have interpreted of being on three different levels. First is, which is of Aam, which is a sort of general understanding of Tawheed. Now this general, even for us, is we are very far from it. This Tawheed is Hazrat Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, meaning that Subhanallah Amma Yusifu, that one cannot really depict, give any quality to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That's the Aam Tawheed, according to the Awliya. That one have no sort of shak, doubt. They have yaqeen. And what type of yaqeen? A type of yaqeen that all proofs are limited proving Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Obviously, it is through proving we understand Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We bring iman through ilm, through knowledge. You know, iman comes about. In our future discussion, we'll be discussing that in detail. Obviously, the theme of our discussion is iman, you know, the play of iman in our life, the role of iman in life. So it is through this knowledge, through philosophy, through understanding, through marifat, we come to that iman, and through that iman we come to that certainty. So this Tawheed Aam, which all the proofs, any depiction, any qualification Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nullifies, because He is Subhan, because He is above every qualification, because He is above everything. That is the highest, that is the first level, and that is Aam. And when we look at ourselves, we would be saying that, you know, we haven't even gone to that first step of that. The second, which they call it khas, which is peculiar, which is special, where a person, after reaching this certainty, after reaching this yaqeen, he sees the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He witnesses it. He is seeing nothing but Tawheed. You know, that is after. Now, this whole journey of Imam Hussain is that. Taking people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what iman is. That's what imam is. Taking people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the khas is where a person sees nothing but Allah everywhere. وَهُوَ مَاكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Now, this is also a marale iman, which we'll investigate later on, as we said. But an iman that have crystallized, iman that have reached to a point where, you know, all of his actions is nothing but that. There's no sort of fear. For example, engineering, aeronautical engineering. When a person sort of comes to the understanding, this is how an aircraft works, he comes to that certainty with all the calculation that he has. But at the same time, something could go wrong. You know, that fear factor is there. Bad weather, you know, so on and so forth, whatever happens, for instance, right? Miscommunication, miscalculation, satellite failure, right? All of that are there. So there's a state of iman, faith there, in terms of, on the basis of the knowledge that the pilot have or that engineer whatever had. And he jumps into it, or he carries on, you know, his task. But at the same time, that fear factor is there as well. But that khasul khas is where that there's no fear factor. Even if one loses, he wins. There's no sort of losing there. There's only nothing but victory. He has reached to that point. So that is why Imam Hussain alayhi salam says that death to me, you know, is better than a life, you know, without dignity, right? So a person thinks that death is it. A person fears death. He's afraid of death. But for a person who have that certainty and yaqeen and tawheed khasul khas, for example, for him is nothing. For him, that is just another beginning for him. So the tawheed, the understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is khasul khas, is that where he's witnessing, whether that be on this physical realm, on this physical plane, or that on that higher realm, where he does that sayr, where he does that journey, every time he prays, every night vigils that he has, when he connects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One might think that places which are deserted are not the places to be there, but those are the places that one would find Amirul Mu'mineen. When they asked him, why do you go to the graveyard so much? He says, what Ali finds in the graveyard, he will never find that in marketplaces. One of the students of Qazi also had mentioned this earlier, had a question in his mind whether he should go back to Isfahan because the parents were having some issues there. In Najaf he was. Qazi says, you don't go, it will be taken care of. Then he was shocked. How come he knows? Then the second answer he gives, he says that you always wonder, what do I do in graveyard? This is where I get the answers from. So the student always wondered that why does Qazi is always saying in Wadi As-Salam? Because this is where everything happens. So therefore, a person reaches to that place where he travels, where he journeys, whether that be in this physical realm, whether that be on those higher plane, higher realms. Now the final one, which is khasul khas, which is tawheed-e-aam, which is tawheed-e-khas, and khasul khas is nothing but that truth itself, is nothing but haq itself, where one have completely annihilated and become one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only where he becomes one, but he becomes that force of attraction. And through him, other reaches that tawheed. This whole school of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which has been going on. If one really imagines these majalis and the barakat and the blessings of these majalis, it has taken us from where to where? And it is taking us where? You know, today, when we look at when they change the banner of the shrine of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and the whole crowd goes Labbaik Ya Hussain, do you feel that? That power, that energy is saying that Labbaik to Imam Hussain is nothing but Labbaik to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it is. Because this man have sacrificed himself, have annihilated himself, have become fana in his wujud, have become that haqq. The Hujjaj, they go in Mina, they sacrifice. Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam went in Karbala and sacrificed by changing his Hajj. That is why our fourth Imam says that I am the son of Safa wa Marwa, I am the son of Mina, I am the son of Makkah. Why is that? Because Abu Abdullah sacrifices in Karbala, by which Islam have remained, by which that Tawheed and the pull of that Tawheed and that journey of that Tawheed, that Raja'un remained. Alaykum As-Salaam wa Rahmatullah. Salawat Allah Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So therefore is that because of him, that Tawheed, that Islam, that deen have been baqi, remained. And it is a continuous pull towards understanding Iman, towards understanding Islam, towards understanding humanity, towards understanding the different haqqaiq, the truth that exists, is through Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. As we also have a program right after this in Farsi, and inshallah we'll begin our discussions, our sessions earlier from tomorrow night onwards to pay tribute to Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil tonight. A few words of Masaib, which really reflects what will happen in Karbala. Muslim really reflects the sacrifice of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Hazrat Muslim is laying that ground. It's like that preview that what is supposed to come. When they abandon Muslim, this is just showing that Imam Hussein alayhi salam will be abandoned. When they mutilated the body of Hazrat Muslim, it is just to show that Abu Abdullah al-Hussein's body will be mutilated. When the children of Muslim became orphan, it is just a preview that the children of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein would be orphan. When Muslim was separated from the family, from the sisters, from the brothers, from the daughters, it is just to show that Hussein will be separated from Zainab. But do we really know what is the pain of separation? Have you ever realized what is the pain of separation? And that even the separation of Zainab and Hussein. Imagine this. Don't you all want to be in Karbala tonight? Right in front of you, you have the shrine of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. It's the first night. And all 10 nights, we all yearn and wish to be there. Let's go a bit further. Imagine this, that you have placed your lap, if you have placed your head in the lap of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, and somebody wants to pull you back, is forcing you back, how will you feel? That separation. But where our love and where the love of Zainab? Because we don't really understand Hussein. We understand Hussein to a certain extent. You know, who was this Hussein? This Hussein was the one the Prophet would kiss the neck of Hussein alayhi salam. The Hussein is the one for which Amirul Mu'mineen says, by God, the shroud of Fatima cuts open, and she raises the hands and she says, come Ya Hussein to me. This is the Hussein. So the separation of Zainab Hussein is unimaginable. So when Muslim is separated from the sister, when Muslim is separated from the family, it is just a preview that Hussein will be separated. Look how they abandoned Muslim. When Muslim came to Kufa, 18,000 or more people have pledged to support Hazrat Muslim and Imam Hussein and to welcome Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When Hani was finally arrested and Muslim tried to gather the support from people, only 4,000 came to support Hazrat Muslim alayhi salam. There were reasons why 4,000 came, because it was a sudden sort of announcement of Muslim to really, you know, get them ready to go to the court of Ibn Ziyad and free Hani, and many were already arrested, because as we know that Noman, who was the governor, was taken out by surprise by Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad was the governor of Basra, because Basra was given trouble to Yazid. Yazid was advised to place Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad in Basra, because Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, which means Ziyad, was also a despot, was a criminal. He was famous in terms of his crimes, and he was in Basra as well. So the people of Basra knew who Ziyad was, and when his son becomes the governor, they supported him in a way. So supported in the sense that they just surrendered to him, to the crimes that he committed. So he was in Basra, and Kufa was falling in the hands of Muslim ibn Yaqeen. Muslim have gathered support. 18,000 men is not less. And when Kufa started to fall and Imam Hussein is about to come, Ubaidullah was asked to leave Basra. When Ubaidullah leaves Basra and he comes to Kufa, he comes as a surprise. Disguises himself as Imam and asks his followers to say or to call, "Welcome, O Imam." So they gathered around Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, who came with his sort of men, and they all started welcoming the Imam, veiled himself, black turban, the whole city came out to support the Imam, thinking that Imam have arrived finally. And then all of a sudden, he goes to the fort where Noman was there. He brings him down, which already showed his cruelty, that he has treated the governor in such a fashion, and finally unveils himself. When he unveils himself, that kind of brought that shock and awe in the hearts of the Kufans. And he announces that whoever supports Muslim, his property will be snatched, his land will be taken, they will be killed. Simple as that. And as you know, that Basra and Kufa is quite close to each other. The people were already aware of the crimes of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad in Basra, and now he's in Kufa. However, even after that, 4,000 supporters were there for Muslim, but he spreads the news that the Syrians are coming, the Yazid army is about to come in Kufa in support of Ubaidullah, and each and every one would be uprooted. The Syrians and Kufans and the Iraqis, they always have troubles. You know, one really have to look into the history, what happened. You know, the Khawarij, which were once again from the Iraq, and, you know, fighting with the Syrians, with the, you know, when Muawiyah was the ruler. I mean, there was always a war between the Syrians and the Iraqis all the time. This place has always been like this as of today. Not only in Islam, even before Islam, because, you know, the Romans and the Persians, when they fought each other, the ground was really Iraq. So it was a deep-rooted sort of ikhtilaf, differences that exist, you know, among the tribes, and that still exists. It has its own effect. Anyways, so here, once again, Ubaidullah says that the Syrians, the army of Yazid, are coming, and you all will be massacrely crushed. There will be a massacre, and they all were afraid of themselves, and they left Muslim all alone. Muslim, when he saw himself lonely, as he had come with his children, finally running around from alley to alley, trying to hide from the soldiers, seeks refuge in a house of a lady. As the lady was a lover of Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, asked him to stay tonight, and tomorrow morning you could return back perhaps to Makkah, where he, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, was supposed to be stationed, or to meet Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and to inform him that Kufa is not ready for Imam Hussein. Finally, that hour comes where the son of this lady finds out that Muslim have taken refuge in his house. He orders Ash'as, he orders Ibn Ziyad to send troops in order to arrest Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim came out from the house and he fought furiously. He was surrounded. They all went up the roofs that surrounds the alley and they attacked him. And finally, when he was arrested, brought to Ibn Ziyad. When he was brought to Ibn Ziyad, he wishes for three things. He says that every Muslim have the right that he should be given a burial of a Muslim. Every Muslim have a right. He agreed, Ubaidullah. Then he says, I have taken some loan which I have to pay back. When I die, you sell my armor and you pay them back. Number three, my master is approaching Kufa, and Kufa is not his place. I would request that a letter or a messenger be sent to my imam that do not come or enter Kufa, because Kufa is not his place. Kufa have betrayed the imam. Ibn Ziyad says the first two will be fulfilled, which the history says that the first, which is the basic right of a Muslim to have a Muslim funeral, that was not provided to Muslim. And the third one, for sure he will not. Finally, when Muslim was taken up the roof of the castle, and there Muslim turns towards Makkah, where Abu Abdullah is approaching. He gives his final salutations. He says, "Assalamu alaikum, Abu Abdullah." Something happened then and there. When Hussein was in that tent, all of a sudden, he looks at Muslim. Muslim, his hands are tied, the sword is pulled on his neck, and he calls the daughters of Muslim. When he calls the daughters of Muslim, he starts to stroke on the head of the orphans of Muslim, the little daughters of Muslim. And Sakina inquires that, "Oh father," Ruqayya inquires, "Oh father, why are you treating my cousins, why are you treating the daughters of Muslim in this fashion?" Then Abu Abdullah says that they are orphan now. As soon as that happens, you see the head being decapitated from the body of Muslim ibn Aqil, and his body being pushed from the roof of the castle onto the ground. And that hour comes as well, when Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam is about to leave to the battleground. And here Ruqayya comes and clings onto the cloak of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and says, "Oh father, do you remember that when the little daughters of Muslim ibn Aqil, you have stroked him and you were very kind towards them, and you said that they have become yateen, that they have become orphan. I don't know what orphan means, but they say that I will be orphan. Will you treat me in the same fashion with that kindness?" Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam picked little Ruqayya and kissed her. Allah la'natullah ala qawm al-zalimin say'alamun ladina zalimu ayyamun qalibin yanqalibun بفاطمة وأبيها وبالها وبنيها وسر المستودع فيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك. يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا قاضي الحاجات يا كافي المهمات إنك على كل شيء قدير. رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة لأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات especially the marhumin of the brothers and sisters who are present here with the loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.